The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, bright telly grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro.
Boy, I from Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Our producing studios tonight is April. And we have a very, very special guest in studios today. He is a longtime friend of mine. He's also someone who I think has made himself a very successful young man by getting a proper education, making the right decisions and choices. And we have him in studios today. I will let him introduce himself in a minute. But first, I'd like to give out some community announcement for the country, and especially the inner city community. I would like to say to the public works, could you see fit to really investigate the roads that are in the inner city community of Mason Addition, Grandstand, and a few other communities, because as you ride through the communities, the roads are really, really in bad condition. We are seeing the major road works taking place on the main roads of East Bay and West Bay and et cetera. So to the minister responsible, yes, some of the roads need to be repaired in the city community. We're talking about Clinton Square. I looked at Mason Additions. Also, there's some dangerous corner stops in the country that needs to be looked at from road traffic, especially the one in the back of Government House, School Lane. It's what's that School Lane, right, Noel? School Lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very, very dangerous junction where at the end of Government House on School Lane, heading to Market Street, as you approach the junction of Market Street, turning in right to go down Market Street, the cars them end up coming up to the steep hill, and if a car's coming down, there's no way for you to look to make the proper turn right, even though they have a mirror across the road so that you could see the upcoming traffic so that you wouldn't get hit side on. I think there needs to be some type of adjustment for that particular junction in the back of Government House. And also, as I travel along, driving in the inner city community, you would see many potholes in the roads and et cetera, and this is damaging many persons' car. So please look into it, you know. I know that a huge budget was passed under the previous administration, and I know that this administration has to go and find ways to make something happen at this moment, but that budget still carry on to the fiscal of 2022. So that budget was set by the former administration, and that's the minister administration that is still ongoing. So the government right now, as it stands, really can't do too much development because of the high budget and the projects that are already being paid for on the previous budget. So I'm just hoping that the Minister of Public Works ride around the community, or he have his officials ride around the community and really look at the roads that are really, really not fit to be driven on in the country, damages a lot of tires, and et cetera. So please take a look at that. Okay. We have a very special guest in studios, and it's my good friend Noel. How do we pronounce your last name?
Saint-Claude.
Saint-Claude. You know, that's a very, very famous name. Tell us a little about your last name. That seems like the VR. Tell us a little bit of last
name. Okay, my last name, I inherited from my stepdad. Him and my mom got married, I think I was about 3. He adopted me at that time. I was carrying Russell, but he, you know, adopted me and he took it on. And ever since, it's a French last name. And ever since, I kept it because it became a famous name.
Mm.
You know, even in school, you know, my teachers never called me by my first name. They always called me Mr. Saint-Claude because it was unique. I've never came across anyone else with that last name in all my years in school, all my years in the field, all my years, even in the barbers. I have, and it's spelled ST.CLAUDE.
Yes, French. That was always unique in school because no one ever had that name.
No.
I still have not heard no one have that name. The only time I hear the name pronounced is when those French movies come on and you hear the name. And it's really rare, you know?
Yes.
You know, so that's great. Noel, me and Noel go way back. I want to talk about the success of this young man in studios today. He's an international chef, has traveled the world, is doing very good for himself. And I want to encourage many Bahamians out there, you know, get your proper education, you know, and you never know what can happen to you. If you put in the study, you put in the work, you put in the time, you know, you could be make yourself successful. Over the course of the years, on this show, we have had many guests. We have had we had Sweet Emily on a few weeks ago. We had Pastor. Oh yes, he's making me laugh every time. The singing Pasha, Lawrence Roll a few weeks ago. We had former Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Ferguson, in the studios, and we had many, many guests who are similar to Mr. Noel
Saint-Claude.
Saint-Claude. Okay, so what we do on Guardian Radios, we look for persons who are doing extremely great in the country and are actually ambassadors for us in the country. So let me begin by first letting Mr. Saint-Claude address the general public.
Good evening, Bahamas. Well, my name is Noel Thomas Saint-Claude. In my 40s, me and Valentino has been friends from school time, you know, primary school, high school, in the community. You know, we attended Sierra Walker together where I attended there. I was Sierra Walker first head boy. It was a wonderful school, one of the best schools, but I'll give you a little history on myself. Like I say, my name is Noel Saint-Claude. I was adopted by my stepfather, Mr. Saint-Claude. He married my mom. My mom is Dorothy Saint-Claude, now it's Dorothy Russell. He passed away about 5 years now. Close to 5 years now. The fortunate thing about it is I had two fathers. My real father came in my life at a late age. I was about 13, and how he got in my life, I played a trick on my mom. I told my mom, well, the school having a field trip, and we going on this field trip. And back then, chalks used to fly, because I was working at an early age. Chalk used to fly, so I fly into Abaco, and soon as the plane landed and it dropped, a gentleman was sitting to the airport, and he said to me, say, come here, son. You come here to tell me. I say, how you know that, son? You look at my head. And my real father is Tommy Dames from Mars Island. So I was fortunate enough, like I say, to have two fathers. My story is broad. I came from humble beginnings. A mother who loved unconditionally, even though sometimes I thought she hated me. You know, we had our little ups and downs, yes. You know. But because she saw the potential in me. So me and I always buck heads. But I love my mother to death. And like I say, both fathers, especially my stepfather, there's nothing he wouldn't have done for me. You name it, I had it. The best name brand, everything I had. And we weren't a rich family. But we were a fortunate family because he was a workaholic and my mom was a workaholic. I became a chef at the young age of 12. Well, actually a cook. Let me say it like that. Mm-hmm. Not a chef. It's the difference between a chef and a cook. I became a cook at a young age. Both of my parents work in the industry. My mom was a pastry chef. My father was at Buena Vista at the time. So they took me to work with them both times. And I fall in love with the craft. You know, and so I took the craft on December 23rd of this year. Will make 36 years I've been in the industry.
36 years.
Yes, I've been in the industry. Love it. If I die tomorrow enough to come back, I'll do this. I'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I attended, first preschool with St. George's, then T. Gibson Primary. Then I ran over to Donald Davis. What was the rat bat at that time?
Yes, it was the rat bat. It was the rat bat.
You know, then I ran over to CC Sweden. And then when C.R. Walker opened up, you know, they said they were looking for the best and the brightest students.
Right.
To put in this school, to make it an elite school.
Yes.
So they choose us. We went there. At that time, Mr. Newbold, our principal.
Howard Newbold,
trust me. One of the best principal ever. I don't know. He had an amazing way of doing things that I just used to smile, you know. And they had a meeting and it was time to come together, pick the student bodies, put you in your class based on your grades and your different stuff, pick students for different criteria in the school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And to the end of the day, I became head boy. The amazing thing, but C.R. Walker, we picked this. Era. We yes. picked the school uniform.
Yes, we did.
We picked the school song. we did the pledge, the alma mater,
the anthem,
everything, you know. So it was like, wow. In my career, I can say I was the youngest ever chef de party in my time because I hold that position when I was actually 17. I ran Nassau Beach restaurant, which was the Grill House at that time, freshly out of high school. While I was in high school, I was at Buena Vista. That's where I started. I started at Buena Vista in Roselawn. So I know the young generation in this era wouldn't know what those places are. No, it's now the distillery but they do the liquor on top of Meaton Street Hill.
Watson.
I started there with Chef Jimmy Barres and Stan Bocas. I started out with Philip Gibson and Tyrone Noble, where they taught me pastries. One taught me how to work the grill. Lucian, who taught me how to work the hot range. So I had a balance always. I worked and I stayed focused on my schoolwork.
Yes.
You know, so... like I said, I had a good journey I was basically the first in a lot of things that a lot of people don't know. Like, for example, like I said, a younger chef de party. First head boy at
C.R. Walker.
When I went over to Breezes, I started Breezes, right? Fresh after I left Nassau Beach, I went to Breezes. The joke was when I went there, this little young boy went to Breezes, working, the chef was there was Quentin. And our head chef was, Chef Ballard. And when I got in, Quentin said, man, we got this little young chef, little young cook. I can let him work with me. So he tell Quentin, he said, Quentin, boy, whatever you do, don't let this young boy cook nothing on this line unless you show him what to do. So he talked to me. I said, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he left, ran out, went and said, boy, I ain't go sit down. You got to cook this food because I tired. I said, but when in my... I say, anyway, but we have to cook. It was Jamaican night at that time, and we had a buffet. And he allowed me to cook basically everything on the line. So the chef came back. Walk the line, look at the food, taste the food, call Quentin in the office and say, Quentin, who cooked the food? Quentin laughed and he smiled and he told him the truth. And after he told him, he said, well, little young boy, you say don't cook the food. So he called me in the office. In 2 months' time, I was promoted.
Wow. Wow. So it really states that if you really want something and you're patient, you can accomplish anything. And mind you now, it was 1991-92.
Yes.
C.R. Walker was just being built. Yes. I think it was getting ready to be completed.
Exactly.
So it was a scenario where we had to leave junior high school, which was D.W. Davis. I left in 11th grade. Mm-hmm. And what school you was going to?
I was going to CC.
You get transferred from Don Davis and you went to CC. Because they wanted to put a school in close proximity for us because of the gang violence that were happening in the community.
Right.
So they wanted to make sure that we were in a safe and close environment based on trajectory where we stayed in the community. So all those who were living in Mason Addition and Grandstand would go to C.R. Walker. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's when C.R. Walker was built in 1992. And the strange part about it, right, Noel was one of our best students in C.R. Walker, and I was one of the most troublesome student in C.R. Walker, but we were close friends.
Yes. Best of friends.
And this guy, he helped me out with my grades in school. He was very, very smart. I just want people to know he was very, very smart. He get the algebra, he get the fractions, he get the division, he get the everything. So if you wanted to learn, he was willing to help you. And one thing he never did, he never let you copy. He always tell you, look here.
No, you ain't gonna copy.
You're not gonna copy. You're gonna learn how to do this. If you wanna come at lunchtime and come do study with me, it's A-OK. And the thing about it, right, I was a troublesome young boy, but I also was very impressed by those who had the high esteem to really do better because, you know, we were looking to be the class clown, but these guys were looking to be someone special. Everyone looked up to Noel, you know. Like he said, when we come to the conclusion, we were the ones who did the national anthem. We were the ones who picked the uniform. So we have to give much respect to Howard Newbold.
Yes.
He's one of the greatest principal ever, you know. He put me in my place, you know. He put me in my place. And in fact, Noel, I know he'd be very happy now to hear that you're in studios today because just about prior 3 weeks ago, when Mr. Ferguson was on, talking about the community development he does in the Grandstand community, Mr. Newbold called in, and I can't even believe he still remembered me. So, Mr. Newbold, these are two of your former students, you know, so I know he must be very, very proud, and I'm very proud of Noel. When Noel was picked to be head boy, you know how hard it is and how special it is to be the first head boy of a school that was just recently built after a great person, after Ms. Walker.
Yes.
You know? And he was handpicked. And this is just the first year. We are the first graduating students. We are the first students to enter the school.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of fun. I can remember some of the teachers. I can remember Mr. Barr.
Yep.
PE teacher.
Yeah. Mr. Markey.
Miss Miller. Miss Glinton.
Miss Larimore. Miss Glinton, who wrote the school song.
Yes. Noel. Guardian always tell me to find persons who have stories, you know, who can resonate with the general public. You're one who have come from very far. In fact, your mom was so happy to know that you was coming on the show. I didn't even know she knew you was coming on the show this previous Friday. I saw her in the Chinese day before yesterday, and she let me know, I hear my son is coming on your show. And mommy's doing a wonderful job. So, Noel, you talked about from 12, right? Mm-hmm. And then you were already a cook. And then you talk about leaving and going to Breezes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I started out at Bruna Vista and Roselawn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I worked there in the evenings. When I left Bruna Vista and Roselawn, I went to Sugar Reef. That time. Uh-huh. And then I went to Blue Marlin. Because I always wanted to learn the craft more, and I wanted to learn everything about the kitchen.
It just fascinated you. That's something you wanted to do.
It's something that actually the amazing thing was I wanted to be a police officer.
Most of all of us wanted to be police officers.
I have an uncle by the name of Christopher Raman.
Yes.
Wonderful police officer. And when I told him the story that I want, he said to me, you want to be a what? Police? He said, No. Stick where you is. You could make more money than what we making. And I was like, but I want to be. And I say, you know what? Because he was like the father figure to us. So when he said that to me, it made me pursue even more to be a chef.
Yes.
You know, and my passion behind it really came from my mom. I get emotional when I talk about it. That's the love I have for my mommy.
Well, that's good, bro.
You know, my passion behind it came from my mom. And she can bake. She used to work at Tiffany's Bakery. She could cook. My great-grandmother, at the age 10 and 12, 10 to 12 and onward, we used to do penny cakes, coconut cakes and stuff for the Red Cross Fair.
Well, that was the best fair.
Yeah,
they need to bring that back. They need to bring, listen, need to bring back the Red Cross Fair, and you need to bring back, what the next one name? It was the Red Cross Fair and the one with all the pigs and goats and et cetera. The Commonwealth Fair. The Commonwealth Fair. Boy, listen, the Commonwealth Fair, listen, we need to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have the Red Cross Fair in the government grant, and then we used to have the Commonwealth Fair in T.A. Thompson and
T.Gibson Primary.
So we used to have two of the fairs in proximity. And it used to be so nice for us to live in the community, going seeing the pigs, the cow,
and the horse, the fruits, the goats,
mm-hmm. and everything. So mm-hmm. it was fascinating for us to see these things at a young age. So yes, mm-hmm. definitely. Go ahead and know it.
Uh-huh. And you know, and then when I left Sugar Reef and Blue Marlin, then I went down to Nassau Beach Hotel. Then from Nassau Beach Hotel.
And your age bracket
In between my age bracket, I wasn't even 20 yet. I just was moving. I stayed with Bruna Vista for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But between Bruna Vista, I had other jobs too. I used to go other venues. Like I went down to Sugar Reef. I went to Blue Marlin, but I still was at Bruna Vista at that time too. I didn't leave because the reason why I love Bruna Vista so much, it was close to home and was mm-hmm. my father. But the chef who was there, his son became best friend.
Wow.
And we became extremely wonderful friends.
Wow.
And so it was like I was locked in and I learned so much. And when I got there, the chef who was in charge, the Lucian, he said, "Well, I get a job for you. You could be cooking the staff meal."
Wow.
I say, "Staff meal?" I said, "Man, I never cooked before." He said, "No, you could be cooking the staff wow. meal." So when the staff taste the meal, they say, "Who cooked this?" He said, "This young boy." He said, No, that young boy couldn't cook that because he was out of steaks. He said, "No, this." And from then, when I saw that I had the gift in my hands, I even pursued it even more, and I even went even more behind it.
Now, Noel, the environment that you came up in, you know, we were more the gang type, but you were our friend. And, you know, we all used to walk to school together, we used to mm-hmm. talk together. Now, we were the troublesome set. But why is it that you decided, even though we were friends, you know, no one persuaded you or influenced you to do nothing that is illegal in the country. Even though we're your friends, you know, some friends will get you to mm-hmm. do some things, duck school and mm-hmm. and let's go shoot some dice and et cetera, or let's go duck school and go to the game room. You was never about this. And I'm saying this to the younger persons out there. Not because you're with a group of persons, right? That don't mean if they're going to do something illegal or something that is wrong, that you have to be a part of it. That don't mean you can't be their friend. He was willing enough to push us aside and say, "You know what? I'm not into that." He always used to say this, "I'm not into that. I'm into this." And he always talking about the future. And I always wondered what he was talking about. You know, he always talking about the future, you know. So this is a prime example of making the right choices. And you exceed yes. at it. And we still respected you. And we even loved them more.
Oh, yes.
You know?
And it came, where it actually came from, is something that tragic happened to me when I was in school. I was physically, not sexually, physically molested by a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I reported it. And I made a promise and I said, "God, I can make sure what happened to me never happened again to mm-hmm. anybody else or a young child." And so from that day, I made up my mind that I could walk the straight and narrow way. I could do what is right. And then I saw myself as a leader mm-hmm. from that day. And being the way I was and being the parents I had, you know, they were strict.
Wow.
You know, they loved me. They allowed me to do certain things. I came from a strict environment. Now, don't get me wrong. I did some crazy things or I did some stuff. But I had friends. Most of my friends were either in a gang or was doing something what they know they wasn't supposed to be doing. But they were my friends. And the amazing thing was when I talked to them, I mightn't got them from doing what they were doing right then and then, but I was able to slow them down in a lot of the decisions that they were willing to make.
You were able to talk to a lot of us. I like to say hi to some of my Facebook friends. Ms. Ferguson, I see you. Roselda, thank you very much for tuning in. You know, and that's what it's all about. You were able to reach a lot of us because we looked up to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you was the one person we wanted to be like. Even though we had our ways, you talked about gangs and et cetera. And this is when gangs was at its peak.
That's right.
You're talking about 1990, 91, 92. This is when gangs were in the schools, you know. I was only about roughly 15, 16, and I was then a hard gangster. At 15, 16, I was going to see our walk, and I was the gang leader at see our walk.
Yeah.
And so I used to have so much young guys walking. Yes. You know, so it just goes to show that, you know, he made the right choices. We made the wrong choices. So he is now one of the best chefs. He can start his own business. He can cook for anyone, anywhere in the world. So tell us some of your recipe. Like, what you could cook. Just say I'm Italian. Can you cook anything for me as an Italian?
Let me give you the joke. Name the country, I can make a dish.
Name the country. Okay. Let me see now. Name the country. Okay. I'm going to go. A lot of Russians has visited the country. So let me see. What about Russia? Russian
food is basically, they love sauerkraut. They like braised beef with red wine and stuff. Russians eat a lot of sour potatoes. Like I say, I was fortunate enough to learn basically dishes from every country because I was able to travel. I was able to go different places. I was able to work in other countries. When most persons see me, they look at me and they just smile because they say, who that little young? Who that young? Or who he is? You know, because I was never a person that always wanted to be in the spotlight. I always worked from the background. Even in ministry, even in being with my friends and being around, y'all know how I was.
Yes,
I always
yes.
pull y'all on the side or in the back and I talk to y'all. I never was the person to say, be out in the front.
No, you never was like
no.
that.
Because even when I was in school, even though I was head boy, I remember one time, my the senior mistress at that time, I wouldn't call her name, she was the senior mistress at that time. I wrote a speech and she wanted me to do the speech and I said, oh, I can't do the speech. I can't talk in front of all these people. So I give it to the head girl to do. And she said something to me that changed my life also. She said to me, she said, you'll never be nothing in life.
Wow.
And I said, why you say that? And she didn't know what she did. She made me even more determined to be something. See, I love when people come at me.
Yes.
But they're negative.
Yes.
Because in everything, I see the positive.
Because, you know, it was so hard growing up. Most teachers thought we were going to fail because
exactly.
of our upbringing.
Bring
so there was very,
exactly.
They thought everyone was going to turn out to be terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shout out to Wayne and Non. He's watching. You know Non.
Yep.
Non ready to watch it.
Oh, yeah. That's
he's the next great guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Next great guy has done extremely well with his life, you know. He has some medical issues now, but I
yes.
think God has been good to him. I think he would overcome. So, and I think that he has a lot of great friends, you know, the One Family Group, his wife. He has a wonderful wife, you know. Non is one of the guys who helped me out many years in the community. He is just like you, you
yeah.
know, with the basketball tournament. He was ref for the basketball tournament for over 20-something years that I did in the community.
They used to be Robert.
Yeah. He did it free for over 20-something yeah. years, till he can't do it no more. So there's going to be a payback for Non and his good work. So
yes.
We better stay strong. I also see Puff. You might know Puff. Puff, I see ya. Good to see you, Puff. Everything good, Puff. Everything good. And Puff, we're getting ready to repair the building so we can start the manufacturing company, through Lewis Creek. So definitely, we have to be in touch sometime next week. So you got to come down in the community and see the works we're doing on your building because we're going to turn the manufacturing building so that we can get into the tourism industry to provide some business for residents in the community. Yeah, so I want to say thanks to Non and Puff Daddy. Yeah, they are homeboys who are on Facebook. Actually, I'm live on Facebook too. This is the second time I'm using Facebook. Many persons say I need to go on Facebook because a lot of persons want to see my face, hear my voice, and find who I am. I have a lot of viewers and a lot of listeners on Guardian Radio 969, but I really need to get up on Facebook. So those out there who have similar stories like Noel, who are doing great things in their community for themselves, I would love for you to contact Guardian Radio, and I could give you a slot on Inside the Industry to talk about the grid works, what you have accomplished, and what you're trying to do in your community. So this is an opportunity for those out there to spread the word that Inside the Inner City is a show want to find persons like Noel who are doing great work in their community and country. And we love to have you on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So Noel, you said in Russia, so you know the specific meals for Russia.
Yes. So sausages, bears.
French.
French food. Well, actually, I grew up. That's the Italian and French is what I really grew up in, because that was my first beginning with Jimmy Barres and Stan Bocas at Bruna Vista. We did a lot of French and Italian food there.
Wow.
So that was, like I say, my first breaking in was French and Italian food.
Wow.
Then when I went over to Sugar Reef is when I learned how to infuse the Bohemian cuisines.
Oh, I see my friend Naden. Naden, that's you, Naden. Oh, Naden, my big brother, Naden, all the way in South Florida, saying what's up. Glad that you're tuning in, Naden. We'd be going live every week, so those on Facebook, if you want to share your story and be a part of the conversation on this show, feel free. You know, we want to talk about the stories. We want to talk about your hopes and dreams, you know, what you're doing, you know, how it's affecting the community, and how it's affecting you as an individual. So, yes. Okay. Yeah. Good to see you. Well, Naden. Naden. I see you, Naden. Yes. So, Noel, so that means now, if any cruise ship comes to the country or any event from any persons visiting the Bahamas has a dinner party or what we call a catering service, mm-hmm. you yourself can cook or bake anything.
You name it. When we had Miss Universe here a few years ago, mm-hmm. when they had the pageant here in Nassau, I actually cooked for them in Abaco. I was the chef chosen to cook for them while they were here in Abaco, and we did something different. We actually took them out of the kitchen, took them out of the hotel setting, and we mm-hmm. took them on the beach. So everything was basically cooked in the sand.
Wow.
We made our grill out of the sand, the pots, everything. We cooked everything right out of the sand. Me and Chef Howard Johnson at that time, and Brenzel, I think his name was, from Green Turtle Key.
Uh-huh.
I've worked on boats cooking for celebrities mm-hmm. and stars. The last two weddings I did while I was at Rosewood was for Michael Jordan's son and his nephew. The gentleman, the producer of Jingo, I think, Bo Jingo or Jingo, for with the movie with Jamie Foxx acting with the slave.
Django.
I cooked for him. The ambassador, the female U.S. ambassador, I used to go to her house because she have a house in Abaco. I cooked for her. I went over. I cooked for a lot of the celebrities wow. who stayed at Baker's Bay in Abaco. While I was in Cherokee, I used to be the executive chef. I was the executive chef at Cherokee Resort and Marina for over 10 years. I oversee 3 restaurants. I also was the executive chef at Valentine Resort and Marina wow. in Bryland. I've been in management for a little over 22 years.
22 years?
Yes.
Wow.
To me, what gives me joy in it is knowing that I can train somebody to take my job.
Mm.
That's where my joy comes from. My joy doesn't come from the accolade itself, even though I've won numerous awards. In 2010, I was nominated for the Cacique Award for the Chef of the Year.
Wow.
I also won numerous tourism awards for my craft and also for my community work. I'm not only a chef, I'm also a community builder.
We get to that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I see a daddy block. I see a daddy yeah. block.
But inside my career, everywhere I worked, and if I spent more than 2 years there, when I walked away from the property, it was somebody else there on the job mm-hmm. that could have take right over. I didn't have to bring in anybody or call for anybody or anything. I was able to train somebody else to take the job. And anybody who I have, who worked with me, who I have trained, when they went to other properties, I have a few proteges now that actually run in the kitchen.
Wow.
You know, I even have two of them who in the States run in the kitchen. You know, so like I say, I have a crazy love and passion for food, because what I got to understand about food is that food is happiness. You know, because when you're hungry, you're miserable. But when you get a good plate of food or something good to eat, you're happy, you're joyful, you know? You excited, you know, like a child when they get their food, they start dancing and singing and clapping, yes. You know? So, and like I said, I've learned the whole aspect of the kitchen from Garmage, from pastries to hotline, everything, you name it, in the kitchen. You name it, in the kitchen, I can do it.
Wow, it's crazy. I see y'all. Shares. Shaz, I see, and I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends who are tuning in, mostly community residents. I'm quite amazed, and I want to say to you guys, guess what you can do? Now, you guys knew about my past, now you know about my future. Check it out. I'm sitting on the station 969. I have a producer. I have a old station that is assisting me. Could you imagine if many of the young men out there just changed their mindset on what they can accomplish? You could be a Noel. You know, you could be whatever you want to be. But anyway, I see you, Shares. We have a call on the line, so we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Good night.
Yes, good night. How you doing?
We're fine.
Great. How old is the gentleman in on the show?
How old is he?
47.
Yeah. He's 47 years of age.
Man, he seems like he's... I mean, the amount of years... So he started very, very, very young.
Yes.
Because, man, 47, man. Hey, man, listen here. You know, give God the thanks and
all the praise. All of it.
All the praise, man.
All of it.
The experience and what I'm hearing you saying, you know, where you went, what you did, how you trained individuals. I taught you, because when I was talking to my wife, I say he said all this experience he has. But he's not young. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's amazing, man. When you put your hands in the hands of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what he can do for you once you surrender your life to him, once you come to trust and receive him as your Savior, and you give him direction in your life.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing what he can do in your life. Now, let me ask you something with pastry.
Go right ahead.
Me, personally, I don't eat. I try to stay away from the white flour and all of that. Could you combine spelt flour with amaranth flour and make pastry?
Yes, but it have to be a balance. You have to balance it properly. Yeah.
Everybody can't do it.
No. It called for an excellent technique, but you have to. It has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, it can end up happening. The product could be hard like rock.
So do you do any? I mean, like that.
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got into healthy eating and healthy food too, because the past few years I end up with acid reflux.
Okay.
And because of it, I started to eat more healthy, and I realized a lot of things that we thought we needed in our food, we really didn't need.
You really didn't?
No, mm-hmm. No. And now my taste bud has changed to more of the naturalness of the food.
Yes. That's wonderful. And like I said, because, you know, it's only one or two places that, you know, bake, you know, pretty good spelt bread. That's New Life.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and
that's the one down on East Street.
East Street. Yes, East Street South.
Yes, East Street South.
Mm-hmm. See, because, like, you know how Christmas time comes and say there's fruitcake and stuff like that,
Yes, sir.
You know, you could get the spelt flour and amaranth. And like I said, you know, once you know what you're doing, and some people believe it doesn't taste good, but it tastes the same way.
It tastes the same way.
That's right. Even with your macaroni, without the cheese and all of that, you know, you can make good vegetarian.
That's right. Because I cut dairy. Dairy was one of them, too, that we cut out.
Okay.
So I use a cheese, it's a vegetarian cheese or something.
Yeah.
And tastes the same. It's just about retraining your taste bud.
Yeah, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. Because for me personally, I came off red meat noggin on about 12 to 18 years.
And I bet you you feel better and you're much healthier. Years.
Yeah, and I'm 66 and running marathons.
Okay.
And
wow. Wow. Okay.
You know, and stuff like that. And another thing, with do you use a lot of, you do a lot of cooking with quinoa?
Honestly, no, but I love it. I do. For special clients and stuff. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Okay.
I do a lot of cooking with natural stuff. Like I make my own oils, like thyme oil, basil oil, herb oil. You name it. I have it in oil.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Great,
so I do a lot of natural. Like I said, I try to keep the food
as natural as possible.
Yeah. You know, all that complete seasoning and lemon pepper and all those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bother with, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm old school.
Another thing. So do you have like a restaurant, or do you do like pastries for sale?
Yes, I do. I don't have a but let me correct that. The restaurant will be open up next week.
Next week.
Wednesday. So, yes. Me and a friend of mine, Barabbas, because we do the same outreach in the community, and you know, he's like a father to me. We team up together, and we're going to be opening up it close to the Guardian Radio, right on the hill, across from the Guardian Radio.
Right on top of the hill.
Right on top of the hill. Yeah.
So you said next week, Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Next week, Wednesday. And I also have a catering company, Junker Food, where I do catering for any size party, any size event. If you just want to have a private event in your house, I cater that also. And the good thing about it is that a portion of whatever I make goes back in the community.
Okay, great.
Automatically.
Great. And like I said, the sky, I wouldn't say the sky, now I say the stars and the moon, you know, because of the attitude. And like you said, when you leave a place,
yes, sir.
You want to leave somebody who could take over and maybe even come back in you. And that's,
yes,
that's
sir.
You. And that's you're not selfish with your with your craft.
No, I'm not.
You know, and that's good. You know, because you know some places go, they will not train you, they will not teach you because he can be better than me, or you know.
Yes.
Hey, so what's wrong with that? You know, more accolades go to you.
That's right.
This, the,
that's
who right. You train.
I've left restaurants and I've left places, and to this day, some of them still call me for advice or recipes, and I don't say no. I give them it, and I give them the best one.
Oh, yeah. Good. Anyhow, thanks. So next week, Wednesday, I'll be walking and let you know.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You did well. Thank you very much, and good night to you and your wife. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on side inside the inner city.
Well, hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
I know that voice. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir, Mr. Host, and Noel. How are you both doing tonight?
I'm wonderful.
Wow. It's such a joy listening to you gentlemen. Great former students from C.R. Walker, you're the knight.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Noble.
Yes, sir.
I remember you as though it were yesterday.
Yes, sir.
you left tremendous footprints at the institution. We used a lot from you individuals who came here there the first year, and you know, you really set the pace for those who came by, and I really want to thank you for being the pace setters at the institution, and I mean listening to Noel, because I knew that he sacrificed a whole lot. I mean, we knew that he was an entrepreneur before he came to school, and so he built on those practices and those skills that he would have had, prior to coming to the school. And we were really fortunate to have both of you, but particularly him. I mean, he would have been the head boy at the institution.
Yes.
And then look at what God has done
for
both of you young men. I am so excited and elated.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Wow. Noel, I remember you.
Yes, sir. I was going to give Scoochie a joke earlier. I'll volunteer a joke earlier. I remember, I don't care who missing out of the classroom. You could have stand anywhere on that school campus, and you know exactly who that student was without even going to the class.
That's why I say I could have never ducked him.
I was like, how he used to do that? And let me tell you, I need to thank you. I remember when I got nominated for the Kasik Award, who I saw in there, Mr. Newbold. I was like, wow, how we know this? You, and I was like, wow.
Still falling
upon your students.
Oh yes. Thank you so much. You know, that was part of our responsibility, you know, to know exactly. I mean, you wore the institution in your heart. And the wonderful thing is that, I mean, we all pass through the phase of as teenagers, as students in institution. And I've heard so many of our students I run into, you know, they're saying, you know, they're thanking the teachers for what they did because they themselves have become parents and the challenges of rearing children today. And so they're now understanding, you know, the nature of things at the institution. But I really want to say how much you... Because CCR Walker was the... I became principal at that school in 1991.
Yes.
But I never served as a principal previously, so I was actually on the job learning.
What else is voice that? You saw his voice? Okay.
You can tell me you ain't had years of experience as a principal.
That's unbelievable.
That was unbelievable. We didn't even know that.
No.
See, we thought you was a veteran principal.
Wow. Crazy.
Because the way you carry yourself and the way you did things, I always looked up to you like a daddy. You know, not my principal, but my daddy, because I know we could have come to you and talked to you about anything. You were always there for us. I know you used to go to the kids' homes. All you had the teachers doing, following you and everything.
If you missed school, some of the classmates, you would see the principal and the teachers to your doorstep.
That's right.
They want to know why you're in school. That's how dedicated they were. The teachers were very dedicated. Mm-hmm. 100% into the students. You know, Mr. Newbold, I can't believe he was just a rookie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it took a village. And, I'd served previously as vice principal at two schools, H.O. Nash and C.H. Reeves, before coming to C.R. Walker as principal, where I spent 7 years. But, you know, the wonderful thing about it was that the ideas, many of those ideas came from students, came from parents, came from teachers.
Yes.
So I was basically the facilitator. I kind of sat in the middle on the floor and listened to all those persons around me. I never liked rectangular tables. I really like the round tables. You know, no head there. You just listen to the people. And I recall that we went into Mason's Addition. We went down into Ross Corner, Gibbs Corner. We went into Finlayson Street, all across Spain Town. And, you know, I'm telling you, years thereafter, many of those students who became parents and their parents, you know, as I drove through, because I never lost touch with that neighborhood. They would just hail me, and you know, it's such a tremendous feeling when you serve people. And
yes.
I really look across this country, and I would have seen Sierra Walker students. I mean, I would go to hotels and sometimes, you know, I want to spend my money, and they're buying, you know,
right,
all this stuff for me. I take the check. I go through customs, immigration, personal police force, nurses, doctors. You know, they're all across this country. And I really must give kudos to you all and, of course, to your parents.
Yes.
And the community, because
yes,
you remember, and you all used to go down to the churches in the area to St. Agnes, Transfiguration, the Kirk, all the churches in the area.
Yes.
Yeah, and you also had those persons from the St. Andrews Presbyterian, the Kirk. They would come over and would do the study hall sessions. So you all were, you know, had a lot of external persons, but of course stakeholders who are actually coming in and assisting. But I'm so elated. I listen to your show continuously on Friday.
Yes, sir.
and I gain so much from you and from your guests who are on the show, and of course many of the callers.
Yes.
So I want to say to you all, continue to do well. I know Ellie Wright, it doesn't seem as if, you know, you've been around from that time. You know, the experience that you've gained,
yes,
and places,
yes,
that you have visited, workplaces where you have actually served. I mean, it's really tremendous. You have done well. Val, you are reaching this all across this country, and I am so proud of what you're doing in helping the community and in lifting burdens and drying the tears from the eyes of people,
yes,
around there. It is phenomenal. I'm just so proud of you all, man.
Yes,
yes,
thank
sir,
you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
Words can't explain how proud we are. Now, just to hear you speaking to us,
yes,
right now.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's something I'm going to tell my son, mm-hmm, and I hope all the listeners listen out there.
Yeah. I hope my kids listen.
Yes, you know, it's wonderful, sir. And you were still here. You're still,
yeah,
here.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, I'll continue to listen. You,
yes, sir.
You carry on, please. Rich and informative show that you have, and the, you know, the diversity of the guests that you have on, it's so enriching to all of us who are the listeners out here. So there's so much that you're doing. Take care now.
Yes.
All the best,
yes,
to both of you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr.
Howard Newbold.
Wow,
that's
right.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, the honor is mine.
Yes, sir.
I am honored to have spoken with both of you and to have served in a small way, contributing to your success.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Take,
yes,
care.
Sir.
But
you
you've
too
done a lot for mine. Thank,
yes,
you.
Thank you.
Have,
yeah,
a wonderful night, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Okay, gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay.
You see, when you do good, God follows you.
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Newbold was a bar teacher, we wouldn't have been smiling now.
That's right.
So happy right now.
No,
just to
right
hear his voice.
That's,
I
right
feel like it was yesterday.
Yes, like
because
yesterday.
I can remember Mr. Newbold still smiling up to this day on the assembly line. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Wow, God is good, eh?
Extremely.
God is
God
good.
God has been extremely
good.
Good.
You know, and when you talk about the diversity that I have on the show, as I reach a volume of people, I reach the rich, the poor, and so many people tune into the show. I can't believe it. A lot of people tune into the show. And I'm glad that it ended up the way, because that was the whole idea. I wanted you to know about the inner city. I wanted to know about the people's struggle, you know, about what's going on in the country. You know, because many years we heard a lot of journalists talk about the inner city community, but they had no previous experience or no knowledge,
mm-hmm,
or doing anything in the inner city community. From this show, came on the areas, and they want to know why crime happened. I explained that. So everyone know why crime,
yes,
happens in the country. The broken homes, poverty, you know, the family structure being destroyed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Young guys making the wrong decision instead of making the right decision as a Noel at the age of 12. You know, at the age of 12, making that kind of decision, they say, hey, you know what, I want to be a cook. You know what a dedication is when you were living in an environment. This is in the 90s when gang violence,
that's right,
I'd speak. You're talking about 200-300 young men walking in a group together. Sometimes 500, sometimes 1,000. You might even see 2,000 young men walking together in the streets. And this was the thing in the 90s. And this is when the country was drug infested.
That's it. That's right.
I talking about the police was rough and tough. The guys rough and tough. This was a messed up thing in the 90s. And Mr. Newbold was able to know that, and to bring a balance to that, knowing that he's dealing with rejected children.
Yes.
And how to be a father figure without even intimidating these kids, because, you know, some of us come with some rough homes, some broken homes, and when,
mm-hmm,
we come to school, many of us don't have pants, many of us don't have shoes, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in an environment where you have someone who cares, an administration that cares,
yeah,
changes a lot, because, like I said, I get chastised from Mr. Newbold, but I love that, because that made me think. That made me stop doing a lot of foolishness in school. That made me stop graffitiing on the wall. That made me stop being a troublemaker in school. At least I was still a troublemaker, but I could do it undercover, because,
yeah,
now I don't go on the assembly line to get the cane no more,
right,
you see, because I get shame now. So he took away something from me, but I gained something, you know, and that made me able to get my 2 point.
Mm-hmm.
And focus, because now every time I look at it, when you said it, Mr. Newbold would know each and everyone who was missing from that line,
mm-hmm,
right? Just how I used to peep and look for me in the classroom after I got my little couple cane wap on my hip, and he did it in a way where it's professional.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't deserve it, you know, because I was a rude and you know what I mean?
Discipline,
yes. Right? So I thought I could intimidate him. That can wait. He was the grown up. I was a teenager. So he put me in my place, my right place. And I don't know why today in this society that we still do not look at it as that way, because if I didn't get the cane, I would have been causing all kind of trouble in the schools year round.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yes. You know, and he did it in a way where he didn't hit me on my hand. He didn't hit me. He hit me right there on the thigh and right in between the little cheekbone, the little cheek. And he got me right in that sting, and that made me think, you know. So I'd like to give a hand to Mr. Newbold. You know, I really needed that. That caused me to graduate of the school. And, you know, somewhat, that teach me a lot of discipline too, you know. Showed me that people cared, you know, that particular staff at C.I. Walker in 91, 92 was
all the best ever.
Yeah, they were really done. Even the PE teachers.
Do you know, to this day, me and Miss Miller still has communicate, my homeroom teacher.
What?
She still check up on me and look to see if I okay, or
yeah,
call me, or she'll have my number and she'll call me. I remember when while I was in Abaco, I came over and I, right off Chippenham area, I passed by and I saw and I pull up. She was like so excited to see me. She couldn't believe it. And I was like, and we talk almost for hours.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. You got a message here. They are saying, Stan Boosie, what it is?
You the Stan Bocas.
Stan Bocas, excuse me. Stan Bocas, or do you mean they're saying Paul Bocas?
No, Stan.
Stan, they're saying Stan. So to the messenger, he says it's Stan. Okay, Stan. Yeah. So for kids out there, Noel was living in a time and he was in an environment where a lot of young men were in gangs. He lived in the community, but he decided not to do what we were doing, right? And look where he is today. So, Noel, you talked about you being managers and et cetera. When you went to this place, did you make a big turnaround? Like when you go to the establishment, the restaurant, did you make a big turnaround in the kitchen?
Yes, I did. When I went at Valentine was a new... Well, I'll start out with at Valentine. When I started at Valentine, and it was a brand new restaurant, brand new everything. So I went in with a new system, new style. Mm-hmm. I brought something new to the island. I left. I got a job offer in Abaco. I went to Abaco. I went to a restaurant. They're a small restaurant at that time. We attract so much business. The gentleman who I was in partnership with got scared. It so amazed me. He said, no, we can't take all this business. I was like, what? He's running from the business. He got scared because the people on the island, they were glad to see something fresh and something new. So when I was getting ready to leave, I was in Green Turtle Key. When I was getting ready to leave, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Sawyer, Pat Sawyer, he said, man, my boss wants to see you. I said, your boss? He said, yeah, man, my boss wants to see you, Mr. Fetch. I said, but I never apply nowhere else to go. So I end up in Treasure Key Resort. I met with Mr. Fetch, Patrick Fetch at that time. He said, man, hey, look, are we looking for a second? So I said, oh, okay. But he said to me, well, we can't hire you until in September. At that time, I had a young family. At that time, I was married with a daughter and everything. So... he said, man, we can't get you right now. We can't bring you in until about 2 months. Let me tell you, where he wanted me so bad, he paid me out of his pocket.
Wow.
To make sure I didn't went anywhere until I came onto the job. I went onto the job. I met a chef there. In less than 8 months, I was the executive chef. And from then, I was the executive chef for, like I say, over 10 years on that property, running three restaurants.
Three major restaurants.
One of our pizza restaurants, which was Tipsy, we could do anywhere from 900 to 1,500 covers in one night.
Wow. The question needs to be asked. This is the question I want to ask. Any young lady out there or any young man, if you had the skills to work the McDonald's or Kentucky, okay? And you're working there. Just say you've been working there for roughly 10 years. Mm-hmm. Have you learned the recipe? Have you learned hospitality? How to deal with the customers? You learn cleanliness? Okay? You learn how to put the ingredients. Why is it that you would work for Kentucky or McDonald's for 15 years? Or the Pizza Hut, right? Know when you learn the recipe and you know how to bake this stuff. But yet still, you are not going to start your own small business.
Fair.
Fair. Just learning off the little small things. See, this is where I get frustrated with behemoths. They're always looking for job. It's nothing wrong with having a job. But when you learn certain skills, working on a job, you're supposed to be able to master that skill and then say to myself, you know what, I'm going to still be working, but at the same time, I'm going to clean my backyard. You know, I'm good at making pizza for Pizza Hut or Domino's Pizza, right? So let me do some more studies and learn how to do the flour, right? Learning to get all the salt and everything together. Just saying, then you say to yourself, I'm going to save every week. I'm going to buy some Duroc, some sheetrock or whatever, right? I'm going to buy my fridge, my store piece, and eventually within a year or so, why is I'm still working for Domino's Pizza, working from 9 to 5? At the same time, I'm not taking my money, going to the party and buying a car or et cetera. Instead, I'm buying shingles, I'm buying cement, I'm buying all my deep fryers and et cetera, and my baker. This is what I'm doing with my money. So we as BMMs got to put priorities where we need to put priorities and start your own small business. So if you work the Pizza Hut, you're learning to make pizza now. Use that skill and start selling home. Why should it work? You could train your niece or your nephew who don't have no work, who looking for work. You could teach them daily on how to prepare the pizza or the chicken or the hamburgers.
That's right.
And sell it. Why should it work? So that's what I'm saying. Let's be creative, women.
And I'm glad you say that too, because like I say, it's fair. And one of my, my greatest motivator was Pastor Miles Monroe. I spent 21 years under him.
21 years?
Yes. We started at Sandals, from Sandals. We went to Mackey Street, from Mackey Street to Michael Road. He said something to me when I was at the lowest part of my life. And he said, in life, always expect the best, but always prepare yourself for the worst. He taught me a statement with Steve Harvey liked to say, jump. When I started my first business, I actually got my first loan from the church.
From Miles Monroe?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. Miles Monroe was way beyond his time. He always was thinking on how he's going to help the next generation of Bahamian people. Go ahead, my brother.
You know, and like I say, from then I just took off running. Any establishment I go on, I don't want it to be good. I want it to be great. Mm. When persons walk out of the door, I want them to be happy. I want them to be like, hey, I gotta go back there. I know I did an event. And the gentleman was like, I standing right up in the front of me and he didn't know, y'all flying a chef, eh? Y'all not a foreign chef in here. So the young lady said, no, see our chef right there. He said, no man, I can't be all chef. He said, why? That young boy, he can't be all chef. So when I spoke to him, he said, son, I own a restaurant. I have never had food like this. When I prepared food for the Chinese ambassador when he was in Abaco, he came three times. The third time he pulled me on the side, he said to me, I could beat you, you know, he said in a
language.
I said, why? He said, I have never had Konkin dough or Johnny cake like this. He said, why you don't package this and sell it? And that's when it opened up my eyes. And I went on companies and I said, I've made so much money for them. I said, now it's time now for me to make money for me and help my own.
Hold it right there. If you're listening, Scott, I see you. Scott Young, respect Scott, my big brother. Listen, when you learn skills of jobs, just say if you go to a construction shop and you learn drywall, work and get better at it, but at the same time, do your side job and form a company. You just can't be working all the days of your life and expecting to live on a paycheck day to day. That's our problem. We procrastinate. We waste time. We don't put the resources where we need to put the resources. Anytime you're working on a job, save something on the side so that you say, I'm going to start a small business with the skills you learn off the job. Okay? Go ahead, Noel.
Yeah. You know, and like I tell you, I had good persons in my life, like Deanne, my cousin. That's like my second mom. Mm-hmm. Anytime I had any problems or issues, she'd be the first person I run and talk to. My Auntie Karen, my Auntie Crystal, my uncles and my stepfather were the men, were basically in my life. But outside of that, outside of my family, the men in my life were like I say, Pastor Dave Burrows, Pastor Miles Monroe, Pastor Simonette from Abaco, mm-hmm. Pastor Silbert Mills. You know, there were persons who I could have talked to. A lot of persons used to call me for counseling. You know, a lot of pastors called me to talk. And I was like, what? Talk? What are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said earlier, I wasn't just a cook. I was a chef. I also was a community builder. You know, I have two programs that I run.
Two programs?
Yes.
Talk on it.
Two programs. One is Youth Today.
Youth Today.
And then I have one where I help kids get scholarships to go off to school in culinary. Youth Today, what it basically is transforming youths into leaders. You know, like I said earlier, too, honestly, a portion, a big chunk of my salary,
yes,
I put back in the community. Anything wow. I make, I put it back in the community. And anybody who know me,
yes,
they can speak off what I do. But I don't brag and tell nobody or what I do. I love to see people achieve. I love to see. I don't care what you is or who you is. I want to see you achieve. I have two kids who I love to death. My wow. daughter. My daughter was the first national Abaco valedictorian.
Wow.
She graduated.
Pass on.
That's right.
From you.
That's wow. right.
Amazing.
She, every term, she basically make a 4 point. I have a son.
4 point. You say I was smarter than
you. I have a son walking in the same trend. He's only 7 now, but he's a brain box.
Wow.
You know, God has blessed. God, I had a challenging life and at times. I'm a divorcee, yes. But I didn't let it deter me. What I did was I helped marriages. People could come to me and talk. People come to me and talk for counseling and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I love to give back. I love to help anything that it's pertaining to charity and you call me mm. or to help. And I can help, I can help. I don't care if I don't have to sleep. You know, because God is my source.
Your heart big.
Yeah. God, everything begins and ends with him.
I agree.
And that's my source. And because he give me, I give back.
Wow. I see Miss Margaret Elizabeth, my good friend. She is the same way. She met me a few years ago at ZNS. And ever since, she, from time to time, she would stop off and drop off some groceries. And even give me a couple of dollars to put in my pocket. So I want to say a very special mm-hmm. night. So, Miss Margaret, tonight, a wonderful woman. She does a wonderful job at ZNS. So, you know, I just mm-hmm. like to give a shout out to all the Facebook friends and stuff like that. Oh, that's amazing, Noel. That's amazing. So, Noel, tell us some of the places you've traveled.
In my travel, everybody basically been to America, but I've been, you know, all through America. I've been in New York. I've been Chicago. I've been Paris, I've been France, I've been as far as Africa, China. Every year I go on a cruise. So I've basically been on every cruise destination.
Wow, that's yeah. it. You mean just because you're a chef?
Yes, not because the chef career didn't take me on them, but because I'm a chef and I love to learn
new dishes.
But I want to experience the originality of
it.
Something.
Okay.
Like I always tell persons, why do I have to go to let's say America, for French food. I want to go where French food really is done.
Yes.
And I want to go where Chinese food really is done. Not saying that it ain't good or mightn't be the same, but I want to experience the true culture. So I went places to learn the true culture
mm-hmm.
of the originality of the food, because I'm a food fanatic. Like mm-hmm. here, I take sea grapes, mango, guava. I make all kind of different things, dessert sauces, you name it, I make it.
So it's like a authentic Bahamian put together.
Yeah.
I see my good friend, my brother Omoko Makfi, down in Harbor Island. Thank you for watching and tuning in. And from time to time, I want some of you on Facebook, send your comments in, because we're going to have a lot of topics that is going to be very interesting to you. And also, if someone out there on Facebook, is a community leader. Someone in your community is doing some great works, like Noel, who is a chef, pastor, community leader, someone who's doing something that is beneficial to the community, please feel free to give a call at Guardian Radio, and I'd be more than happy to invite you on Inside the Inner City to talk about your indoors. Yeah. So, Noel, you were saying?
Yeah. You know, and one thing I would love to say and leave, and especially to the men in this country, please step up. You, if you only know how important you are to society, you play a real, real, real important role. When, the other day I was driving down the road and I was playing some gospel music. My son was in the car and I was just clapping and tapping my head and dancing. And he watched me and he started to mimic everything what I was doing. And I smiled and I said, wow, you see our kids respond to what they see. When I used to coach in Abaco, I used to coach the basketball team. And I said, and I always said to the young men, and I said, you know what? Don't you ever talk bad with your sister or anything else. I say, you know what? And I always give them a quote. I say, you know, why? What makes a woman a prostitute? They say, what, Jeff? I say, not because she out there selling, you know. I say, because you buying.
That's true.
Because if you don't buy,
right, she can't sell.
She can't sell.
Can't buy, no.
I say, this is the important of the role you play in society.
Wow.
I said, we make the change. I said, one of the young men, he said to me, his name is Timmy. He was my point guard. He always say to me, he say, Chef, nobody mightn't love us, but because you love us, we could make you proud.
Wow.
You know, and it showed me how important it is as a man. And because of it, the blessings fall on my children.
Yes.
You know, my daughter was able to go to college for free.
Yes.
You know, she's in the medical field.
Wow.
She tutors.
Wow.
When she was just finishing off college when she got a call to teach at a school.
A blessing come from all around.
You know, and she get called again to teach at a university.
Wow, she picked what she wanted to do. It was a hard decision because they come, that was so much.
No, see, let me tell you, my daughter, I see myself in her in a lot of things. I remember when I was going through my divorce, I asked my daughter a question. She was about 11 at that time. I said, what you think I should do? You know, my daughter said to me, she said, Daddy, you need to do what makes you happy.
At 11?
Wow. I was like, and from she was baby, I saw greatness in her.
Yeah, because I think it passed in a genes from you, because you were very, started early at 12, and you see your daughter at that age, you ask her a question.
She's
a grown-up question you ask her at age 11, and she gave you a grown-up answer that, you baffled. Okay, hold it there for a second. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Another day to this dark inner voice. We need justice, law, and order in this country. Scorch, how are you and your guests?
We're fine.
Okay, I got a question for your guest, Scorch. But I want to say a godly day to you, Brother Newbold. That's Howard Newbold.
Yes.
Yeah. My question to you, what's your name again?
Noel. Noel. You can just call me Chef. That's my nickname.
You got a good name, Noel.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Raymond Darlin Ferguson.
You name
yes,
too.
I know you. I know you.
I always know you.
I grew up right in Mason Edition.
Okay. But what I want to ask you, right? You speak of being to China and you speak of the culture, you know, you want to know the culture and stuff like that, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, when it comes to the food and culture, when Bahamians know what the Chinese is eat over there, they will not want to go in the Chinese restaurant anymore. And I suppose you know what I'm speaking of, right?
Yes. I see where you're going.
So let me ask you something. Have you ever prepared that type of food for anybody in China or anybody over here?
No, sir.
Okay, but you know how to do it.
Pardon? If I know how to do it?
Yeah, you saw it being done.
No, the restaurants I've been to, I haven't seen them cook any rat or dog or stuff like that, no.
Or snakes,
no. Okay. Now, I've eaten alligator before and crocodile.
Yeah, that's in Florida. You eat in Florida.
I've tried stuff like that before, but to say snakes. I've tried raccoon before, I must say. I did try it before. But to say anything else out of the ordinary, I haven't tried it or haven't cooked it.
But let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
I then caught your last two words probably. But mm-hmm. Let me ask you something else.
Yes, sir.
Now, knowing that you was in China, you were seeing them cook that type of food in which we speak of?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you. But you heard it, though.
Yes, I heard it. But to be honest with you, different parts do different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it isn't that all Chinese do that or all Chinese eat that. That ain't true.
Okay.
That's just a stigma. That isn't true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah. You're welcome.
Okay, school.
I no problem, Raymond Hart, but the Chinese. I will laugh so bad. Hey, sis, I see you, sis. You all right, sis? Boy, you going to make me laugh just now. You trying to say the rat and the dog and all that stuff. We ain't pulling up with that crap over here. We love dogs. We ain't no cat. We ain't no rat. They are pets. We ain't that over here. Not in this part of the world. Now, if you go in places like India and certain part of India and stuff, they cook the python snakes and stuff like that.
Right.
They for people who have that kind of culture. That's not in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I even think when it comes here to the Bahamas, we are scrick. And I even think the Chinese over here are afraid to do those kind of stuff unless they do it behind closed doors. We can't say, but we know one thing. Different countries in the world have their own dishes. We might say dog and cat is disgusting or thing on, but in their culture, that's like chicken to them.
Yeah,
so you got to be very careful because that's their culture, that's their country. You know, every country you go in, there has a delicacy, you know, that has their dish, for example, you know, so that could be their dish, et cetera.
As simple as the conch.
Yeah,
certain countries in the world think that's disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting. Yeah,
that
yeah.
Being that's that big.
They call it snail. They call it snail. You know, yes. So yeah. Different cultures, different things. Yes, we might be intimidated by it. Yes, but as you travel the world and you go in their country, that's a part of their dish and their nationality. Are we gonna take this next call? Go ahead, caller. So I just wanted to get that part straight because, like you said, only certain part of China. Certain people does those kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But some things can be inhumane, but we need to understand also people have their own ways in their country, you know. Some people eat monkey, you know. Some people eat donkey. Some people eat horse. Some people eat shark.
I remember when I first started, like I said, when I started at Bruna Vista, we had this dish called sweet bread. And, you know, when you heard the word sweet bread, you're thinking it's a sweet, something baked. That was actually the brains of the cow.
Oh, yeah. Say that again. My sister... said it tastes good. I know the alligator tastes good, the crocodile tastes good in Florida. They say it tastes like what? Chicken egg?
Tastes just like chicken.
Yeah, they say it tastes like chicken.
I eat spring chicken, which is frog. Yeah. I love escargots.
Yeah.
They snails.
Yeah, but you're a chef, so it doesn't matter what animal it is or whatever. You wouldn't know, you might be discriminate, but if you go to a different country and someone asks you to prepare something and you can prepare it, that's in their country.
Yes.
So it goes by what country you
goes
in.
Yes, there's different things.
Are we going to take this next call? It's all right? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yeah, bless you, Scoozy.
Hey.
Bless you, your guest.
Yes, sir.
A good example of what could come out of the inner city, you see?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proud, man.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Raymond has trouble. You know
what?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I hear the story when I used to wake up with a gongs over the party island. That's how I get in no tie-in, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's having the CARICOM meeting or Commonwealth heads of government meeting or whatever. It's down at, the Cable Beach, right? And over party island, that's when it's Batania Beach. I used to work in accounts. I was in receiving. And I was up different sections I was working, but I used to receive stuff. And I could remember... beetles coming in, snake, veal, monkey brains, you know, some other reptiles and stuff. That's some real, you know, of course, there's cargo. Ain't nothing wrong with that because I know that was the delicacy. But a lot of stuff that I've seen that really peculiar to us, right? But I go by what I observe and what like I had an American girlfriend mixed with Caribbean. I wouldn't call it nationality, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I met her right after her husband died and, you know, he was getting closer to that. So she's the cooking in that and then I'm... some cats to be around the house, and she just disclosed to me that she watched her husband run down a cat and catch him and kill him and eat him. So I said, she ain't got a reason to lie to me, right? So what I try to tell you is, right, and in Asia, right, they do have a celebration in which they celebrate dog meat.
Yes.
There was a documentary showing the dog farms and et cetera, et cetera. Some people sitting on openly, drinking it and sipping tea, discussing what it is to be or whatever. You know, that's just a little human there, right?
Yes.
But let's get your boy here is a good example of what could happen, right? You know, I listen to you and they be into the same thing when I was in school. You know, you're troublesome, right? So I telling you, you know your boy, you remember Lil Pot?
Yeah, Lil Pot.
All right, well, I see some history there. But he was tying, at least he was tying on an island. I'd like to hear from him. I just sent someone the message.
Yeah,
I'm
and fee
just come out too, you know?
Yeah.
I'm old times, but bless up, man. It's like, it's good to hear this info, you know, but we can't walk through no one's schools. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All you got to do is don't eat the dead, because we got a dead. Yeah, man, respect.
Yes, I got a message here from Dale Happy Mills, and he's saying, the exchange brought back, you know, between us and Howard Newbold. How we were students, and he was the principal. And he said that brought him back memories of the Honorable Carlton D. Francis, you know, who passed away. But Carlton D. Francis is one of the best educators around. So that exchange just now brought it, made him think back when he probably was in school and Carlton Francis was tutoring him and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So it goes to show that, you know, this is a lifetime experience where we have all evolved. You know how happy it is for Mr. Howard Newbold to know that we are two of his former students, and one is a talk show host and one is a big-time international chef and community. Both of us are community leaders doing great work in our community. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. Can't get better than that. Someone asks, what is your full name? Are we going to give you a full name now? Noel
Thomas Sinclair.
Okay. You already had a name? Noel
Thomas Sinclair.
Okay. Hope you got that. Okay, again, my sister said it tastes good, you know, and et cetera. So, Noel, I just want to say this real quick. This is a quick community update, you know, in my efforts to take my community into the 21st century, where we have proper education, small businesses, and make sure that we have a clean environment, eco-friendly community. We just got a special donation up to $600,000 to build a 48,000 square feet new state-of-the-art community center to Lewis Creek.
Wow.
Yes. All right. We're getting ready to start. It will feature a STEM lab, a reading room, a recording studio, a computer room, and a culinary training kitchen. So this is where you're going to come in.
Oh, yeah.
You see? So we are preparing our community for the future. So we're not letting our community get out of hand no more. We are putting the resources in place, like how we got Salem Union Baptist Church in place. We have Pastor Ferguson, Big Harvest Community in place. We have myself as the community leader in that community. We have Pastor Ari Cooper. And then we have Lenahan Bahamas, which has taken on the mantle as to be my partner. So Lewis Street is going to be an educational center. It's going to be an empowerment center. And it's going to be a historic center and a very clean environment. This, in order for us to have better future, Bahamians, boys and girls. So all this is a new plan that we put in place for our community so it do not get out of hand no more. So we're putting in the proper tools, the community centers. We're bringing in teachers. We're bringing infrastructure with restaurants and et cetera. And we're going to the tourism industry to provide small businesses in our community. So I want to say thanks to Ms. Sheila Pritchett for an awesome job, our director, Mitzi Burrows, and our main man, Mr. Lucas Metropolis from South Florida, who is the architect of this great program. And Lenahan Bahamas is doing great things, and I'd like to say to all the sponsors, like I said, we just got a $600,000 donation. And this is development for the inner city. And they're my partner. So you see how I've been able to reach people like Lucas. And I've been able to read Lucas through Ms. Alexander Millis. And Lucas has been my spokesperson. And when he leaves from here and he goes on his journey in Florida and to Life of Key and et cetera. He uses that to talk about what we're trying to do in the Lewis Creek area, and look how far we have come. I'm seeing a great future, a bright future for the kids and the residents of the Lewis Creek, Hayes Creek, and Taylor Creek area. So I want to say thanks. And that's just a community announcement. And Noel, also, my restaurant is almost complete. Yes. I have about 2 to 3 months left. So you definitely you know, when you said you had no restaurant. Well, buddy, we're going to work with some agreement, because we're going to have guests coming from the cruise ship in our community. They'll be staying until 5 o'clock. So we're taking this opportunity to develop ourselves and to bring empowerment to our community, so we get rid of crime, we can get rid of poverty, and we get rid of arrogance, you know, stupidity. You know, we're taking so much lives. You know, we just had over 100 murders again this year.
Yeah.
You know, young man taking young man them life. So this is our solution, and this is our way. And definitely, when I get open, I want you to come and inspect the building, because you're going to love it. You're going to see how I build a kitchen just for a guy like you. So I know I'm going to have a 5-star restaurant, bro. You know, so Mr. Newbold, you'll be coming again, lunch and dinner while your former student.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take this last call. Can we take this last call? Caller, you only have about 2 minutes, so please, could you make it real quick, please?
Hello.
Good night, good night.
Good night. I just want to say hi to Noel Sinclair.
Hello.
Noel, this is Polly Oliver from Breezes.
Hey.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
Yes, I'm happy for you. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Yes. I have to just call in and say hi to you.
Thank you.
Okay, and y'all be blessed.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Word of thanks, you know, and that's what you need to be encouraging us, you know, when people hear your voice and know what you're doing, you know, they're very, you know, want to uplift your spirit. So I want to say thanks to the lady calling. She's just giving you a word of confidence.
Yes.
And that's what we need in the country. We have a few more minutes in studios. So Noel, tell us how successful, when you got those job as managers and stuff, what was your salary looking like for anyone interested? Just say, I don't want you to say exactly what you're making.
Let me put it like this. An executive chef can make anywhere from $1,000 to $3,500 a week.
A what?
A week. $1,000 to $3,500 a week. A week.
A week?
Yes, a week. It's a good paying job. It consume a lot of your time. You know, the other day when we had a conversation, I told you, and I say, a drug dealer can, you know, back in Ira, a drug dealer could make $50,000 that week. Well, actually, you can make $50,000 that day.
Wow.
That's off of one event.
You guys out there who are selling nickel and dimes on the street, right? Selling $5 pack, half bag, and $10 half bag, right? And then if you get catch, you're going to pay like $5,000 to $10,000 before the court for your fine. Mm-hmm. Listen to the solution. Go to school, be committed, get your proper training. The young gentleman just said just now that he can make anywhere from again. Say it again.
From $1,000 to $3,500 a week.
And imagine this.
And that's only your salary, because you can do events and take you over the top.
Wow. How much time we get, Noel, before we go?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, think about this. How much money do you think if you was working a job, right? Right? For 5, 6, 7 years, like you said, 10 years. And then in between that 10 years, you was building your little small restaurant, preparing yourself that when you ready to retire, you could do 10 more years to the job. You don't have to leave the job. You still got up your business open. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
You're learning where they're ordering their food from, their steak, this and that,
right.
And you're getting information. And on the side, you're ordering. So you're up the best, right?
And the good thing with the position is that you don't pay no rent, no kind of bills, because everything is a perk that they take care of.
Wow, it's crazy. I just want to remind BMN people, stop sitting around just working for 20 to 30 years on a job. If you work the pizza out, learn how to make pizza. Take some of your money, save it on the side. Hey, start to build a little restaurant or your little spot, and then start to sell your pizza. So you get 2 income, you're working, and you get your pizza. Okay? You understand? Notice what most police officers do. They stay on the force for a certain amount of time, right? Then when they retire, they become lawyers.
No, somebody asked a question, say, what about the elders? Oh, I forgot to mention. Every Thanksgiving, we have a program where we feed the senior citizens, and we also give them grocery. My partner, to be Barabbas, right now, he served the whole community from the hurricane. It's over 5,000
awesome.
Persons.
He's awesome. He's awesome, guy. He's the next
one. He deals with the senior citizens. He deals with the young people, everything. So, yes, we do also have a program that we cater to the senior citizen, even going to the house, helping them fix up their house, if anything damaged or anything. We have that also.
Wow. So you're doing community work
yes,
across the board.
Straight across the board.
So, Noel, if someone wants a catering job done or wants a five-star chef like you, how could they get in contact with you?
It's simple. You could go on my Facebook page, pull up Noel St. Claude, or call me at 577-1959. The business name is Junk of Food. Or you can also find me at the new spot, which will be JunkofNewWorld/Junk of Food. You could meet me. You could contact me there also.
Wow. It's nice. You want to say anything to your mom? I know she's listening.
Yeah, I know.
She's
right there listening. And when I leave for me, I go in home to heal her. But she know how I feel about her. And thanks to everybody who's played an important role in my life. Because it took a lot, you know. So I would like to thank everybody who have played an important role in my life.
You know, many people are looking for work. Sometimes people... The work is be right there in your eye. You know what the problem is? You don't see it because you're too busy minding other people's business. Talking with people, watching what people get. You know? You see the neighbor buy a new car. You're watching that. You see them buy a new curtain. You're watching that. You can't get along with nobody. You're always rowing this one and that one. Listen, get rid of all that. Get rid of envy, jealousy. And start to focus on God. And start, ask God to bless you with some knowledge, with some understanding, so you can give you some understanding where you could start working on your life. You know, and that's our biggest problem as being in this country. We look at one another. We try to bring one another down. Use that time to focus on yourself, okay? Prepare yourself for the future, okay? Noel, you want to say anything before we go?
Like I say, especially parents, please, be an example to your kids. You know, lead. Don't follow. Lead, you know, because each one, reach one.
Wow. I don't want to say thanks to Noel Sinclair, head boy of C.R. Walker in 1992, you know, for doing such an awesome job. He has prolonged his future. He has his own business. He's doing community projects for the country, for the elders, for the young. What more can you ask? Also, you hear him talk about his daughter, averaging a 4-point. It can't get no better than that as a behemoth, because you're seeing where a struggling father is being able to turn around and make himself like a success at the age of 12. That means even at the age of 12, like Mr. Newbold stated, he was always thinking about being a business owner at the age of 12, and then he went to C.R. Walker. So Mr. Newbold said when he was in C.R. Walker, he could see the potentials in Noel, and now that has happened. And you're seeing greater things, you know. You said you get the Sheik Award.
Yeah.
And all those awards.
Yes. Ministry of Tourism. I got Ministry of Tourism. I won the Ministry of Tourism Award 3 times. I've won Independence Award, you know. So.
Wow, that's crazy. We got a lot of talent here in the country. And like I said, behemoths. You can't work in a job for 20 years and still won't work there the next 10 years and just want to get a pay and salary. Use the time to come up with something creative, start a small business on the side so that you can be able to have a better future. You know, bills will keep on piling up on you because you could have an income, but you're spending, and nothing's coming in. You need the work, and then you need to have a small business to bring money back in your pocket. So that when you spend, you have something coming back in, and you could budget, and you could better your life, okay? So I want to say special thanks to all those who listen to Inside Inner City on Garden Radio 96.9, to all my Facebook friends, my sister, the Shares, to Warren 3579, to all those who are on Facebook here tonight on Garden Radio, and especially those who listen to Inside Inner City on Friday. I want to say to you, I hope you enjoy the show. Drive safe. Take your time. And always remember, put God first. And remember, always have a positive mind. Always stay positive on how you can better your life so that you can make your life better for the future development of your family and your country. So I'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no bathtub, no bribe.